Hello and welcome back to episode 64 of Talking Marketing, the podcast where we sit down with industry leaders and accomplished marketing professionals to explore the strategies, systems, and creative thinking behind brands that stand out. Today, we are diving into a topic that has been reshaping how marketing teams think, plan, and deliver: agile marketing. And there is no better person to unpack it with than our own guest, Kamal Hans, who has spent his career turning agile from a buzzword into a genuine way of working across development teams, data teams, operation teams, and yes, marketing teams too. Kamal is also an enterprise agile coach and SAFE certified practitioner based right here in Boston, who has worked with global organizations including Ericsson, Bose, Kronos, and Vistaprint, guiding them to a higher level of agile maturity. He's a speaker, a trainer, and a disciplined facilitator, and someone who would describe himself as a connector, learner, and collaboration coach, which honestly tells you everything about how he shows up for the teams that he works with. Kamal has taught agile marketing to multiple organizations, conducted original research on how marketing teams can adapt and collaborate on more effectively in a fast-changing digital environment, and consulted with teams on building more agile ways of working from the ground up. Welcome to the Talking Marketing, Kamal. Really glad to have you here.
Yeah, thanks, Chetna. This is an amazing introduction that you put together, so thank you for that. Just to clarify in between, SAFE stands for Scaled Agile Framework, which is used by organization to scale up the organization. So
Oh.
amazing, amazing intro, Chetna. So let's jump into it. I'm ready to talk about it.
I'm so glad that you said let's jump right into it, because this is a topic that has been on my mind, but I feel I have a lack of information for this, and who's a better person than to go straight to the source, the educator of this agile marketing, you. So I'm really glad we are having this conversation today. So I'll jump right in into our conversation. Agile marketing is often used as a buzzword. How do you define it in practical day-to-day terms for marketing teams?
That's a very good question. Many people ask me that question many times. I sometimes recommend them to go to the agilemarketingmanifesto.org and then check it out. But I have a very, very simple answer for you. So let's go a little bit back into the term agile. So when we talk about agile is really about putting people first and focusing on delivering value. And value in this context means solving a real problem, a pain point that someone is facing. So instead of working in the silos, you collaborate as a team and learn as you go, and all of those value that you deliver by faster feedback loops. So you adapt on the way, you experiment with the ideas. So it's essentially you can think of an operating system that you work as a collaborative team. So that is what agile is. And the same way, the same concepts are applied in your agile marketing and the same thinking. So it is again grounded into the values that we talked about in Agile Marketing Manifesto, but it shapes like how the teams will work. What are the different ways of working? Instead of focusing only on the campaign and then the output, team prioritize delivering real customer value, working collaboratively across all the functions, and responding quickly to the change. And over time, they build the practices and ways of working that kind of reinforces those values and creating a kind of an outcome for the organization. Let me give you an example that how a general marketing, agile marketing team will work. Many times that you have seen it in a marketing organization, you receive it more than like 50 ad hoc requests from your sales team, from your leadership team, and then they tell you to deliver it within this time. What do you do there? So one option is to react to everything, jump straight into the request to request, and work day and night just to keep up. And this usually leads up to your burnout, right?
That is
People
true.
get kind of a think that like I'm working day and night. So now think from the agile marketing team perspective. So You pause a little bit. You start asking yourself, your leaders, your teammates, what are the value of each request? And then you put a, for example, a 2x2 matrix, kind of a the matrix on the x-axis if you put effort, and on the y-axis you put value. And then you start putting all those 50 requests into that 2x2 matrix. So you can think of like kind of in the top right one where you have a highest value and then highest effort, you call this moonshots because there will be a lot of work that you need to do these activities. And then the bottom left, you call it fill-ins, where you have a low value, low effort, which you could able to do that in between the work that is getting when you are waiting or all doing all those things. And then you come as the bottom right, which is low value but very high effort. So I sometimes you call it hard slogs. You actually want to avoid those things that which is not providing a lot of value but a lot of effort. And finally here, top left, which is your highest value, lowest effort. So you call this as a quick wins. So you prioritize those quick wins to create the more and more value for you. In that way, what you are doing here is you are collaborating with all the people that who are delivering that work, and then you are prioritizing your work based on value. So in simple terms, that's what actually is agile marketing, where your ways of working are prioritizing for the maximizing value for your customers, for the people that who uses your product. That's what how I define agile marketing.
That was a really insightful matrix that you visually drew for us, because that helped me analyze in my day-to-day activities also how I can, like, when I'm planning a campaign, what are the quick wins for my project? What are something that I should totally avoid? What are some things that I should, like, try to step into one by one so I can reap the progress out of it? So that was a great visual map that you drew for us. One quick question that I would like to add in between is, when did you first approach agile marketing? How did you, like, happen upon it?
So I started my career as an engineer. So in those terms, like I will say proudly, like if you are texting or sending images using your phone, there is a one line of code that I have written back in 2000. So it's still valid. So I started my career as an
That's
engineer.
amazing.
Yeah. So, and then again, like, you know, that if you see, and in your introduction, you nicely talked about how I feel about connecting people.
Yes,
So
that is
that's
one thing
I'm
that I have
from.
seen prominently about you, that you define yourself as a connector. Multiple websites listed you as a connector, and that is like a brand value for you, I do.
Yeah, no, that's great. And this all started kind of in my career with when I was working with Ericsson. So we were connecting people, and that was their tagline too. And then somehow I picked up, oh, I'm a connector too. And when I was trying to work in this corporate ladder, I started working as a the kind of a system engineer, then program manager, and I was working with many of the organizations at the same time. Like organization in the sense it's not about a different companies, organization inside the company itself, like a marketing organization, finance, HR, like all cross-functional. And when I was working with LG Electronics, at that time, we were serving our client Reliance, and they were a tough customer. And I was the one program managing our launch of a new mobile phone. So I was working with everything. And that's where I felt like the magic happens when we connect all the dots. So, marketing team, finance team, your technology team, your operation team, your logistics teams, all of that has to work together to solve all the big problems that we have right now. And that's the time Agile was kind of a growing their footprint into technology. And the Agile Manifesto was written in 2012. At that time that they wrote the Agile Manifesto, and I was part of there. And then at the same time, I was studying marketing at Harvard, and then I graduated in 2012. So all connected all the dots, and then I become a training the agile marketing to organization, and I started working with the marketing team in Vistaprint, where I have experimented on those practices a lot, and then we got a pretty good success. This is how I got into agile marketing.
That is quite a journey that you have had since your beginning. You started with Ericsson, then LG, and then Vistaprint, and then you did into agile marketing. And it's wow. If you had one word to sum up your journey, what would you say?
I would say learning, like kind of a, I'm still learning and at the same time experimenting. So that's what I would summarize it.
It has been a great journey to see and witness you and your progress. We feel so happy about your presence. And for our listeners who don't know, Kamal also leads the sponsorship department at AMA Boston, and we are so lucky to have him.
Yeah, thank you.
The Agile marketing principles were first published, like you said, in 2012. Why do they still hold up today, and what has changed in how teams actually apply them?
I think they need now more, like the way the things are moving these days, market condition changes very fast. And with that fast marketing condition, you can't rely on the items that you have to go through the big time. So you have to speed it up, the release of value. And at the same time, you need a system where everybody's talking to everyone. So those days are gone that when you develop a particular product and then you give it to the marketing team and then the salespeople go home to home and then sell it. These days, before you even buy a thing, you know about that product a lot. Like you want to buy a TV. 99% of the time, you already know what TV that you want. 99% of the time, you just go and order that. You don't do those big research. You go and talk to the salespeople and then talk about that. There is no sales happening that way. Even in B2B market, many times we know that this is a tool that we want to buy. So to understand like kind of a how the market conditions are changing and how we need to iterate on the learning to solve the customer's problem becomes very important. Let me give you another example, which I have seen it. The big organizations also sometimes got into the habit of like kind of the big batch or not using those principles. You heard about Siri, right?
Yes.
And Siri is a tool that in Apple we use it. And Apple has been behind in terms of AI integration of Siri with many of the things. Back in like 2024, they announced in their launch, they're gonna launch Apple Intelligence. But where is that Apple Intelligence?
It is still pending. It has not come yet.
Correct. So what does that mean? They are not able to prioritize or in a way they could able to deliver that value very fast. So they are still trying that principles of kind of with a big batch, make it perfect. Then only we will launch it. Yes, of course, we understand Apple is an amazing organization, but in some manner, some of the areas that they are still struggling to use, which is the iterative process. And that's the reason if you see people don't use Siri anymore. People use more ChatGPT and connect all those agents and then use many other kind of tools on Apple products itself, which is a sign that we need that more now these days rather than back in 2012. So it is still valid.
I agree with your point, and especially with the example that you gave to back it up. It explains how and why agile marketing is much more relevant today than it was in back in 2012, like you said. And also, when you are giving your lessons about agile marketing, the questions that people ask, how are they still, are they similar to the questions that were back then in 2012?
There are different. So these days, what happens is again, like we are talking about end-to-end. So when you are talking about agile marketing, it's all about thinking end-to-end. So think from the perspective of development and think from the perspective of understanding the customers and then pointing it out, what are the pain points that I want to solve? So these days, what is happening is development teams started using AI. They use tools for coding. So I have seen the reports where development has increased their efficiency by 3x and 4x. They had taking very less time to produce the code. But if you go into the places, the marketing teams, so when we are talking about marketing teams, there needs to understand what are the pain points, what are the different problems of people that we are trying to solve. They are still taking that much of time. So they haven't improved their efficiencies to understand what pain points that we need to solve. They still need to understand, and many times, like, what is valuable? Sometimes a marketer knows what is valuable here. There is a lot of opportunity. But then in the large organization, his or her major time goes in aligning people around that value. So that still is taking a lot of time. And when we are talking about agile marketing, we are talking about kind of an end-to-end. Yes, we have improved the delivery part of it, but the discovery part of it is still lagging. And I see a lot of questions around how do we improve the discovery part? How do we create a way to figure it out what really customers want, what are their needs, and all of those things. So yes, questions have changed. It's more discovery side now than the delivery side.
That makes sense. Given the current market situations, I can understand why discovery today is a much important goal than it was before. How does Agile help marketing teams think more cross-functionally, like you said? For example, how does it change the relationship with the product or the sales team?
So when you think from the perspective of organization that is creating value for some customers or some users that the product that they are using, right? So I sometimes like kind of a go back to my basic marketing class where we talk about what is marketing. So the definition of marketing that is stuck in my head from my professor is satisfying customers' needs profitably. Very simple definition of a marketing. And we use, if you remember in our, again, the basics of marketing, the four P's of marketing, your
Yes.
product, your price, your promotion, your kind of
Please.
the place that where we kind of distribute that particular product. So, and in general, when we talk about marketing, we talk mostly about promotion. When we say the umbrella of marketing, we neglect sometime the other P's. And when we are talking about cross functional, we need to talk about all the P's at the same time. So those silos has to be broken. And if you wanna like kind of achieve what actually is really valuable, as I told you earlier, when I was working with LG Electronics, the major opportunity that I saw was how do I connect all those functions, all those four Ps? And there's a system thinking approach. There's a technical term for that. It's called system thinking. So we need to think from system thinking perspective and understand the impact of all the promotion is if it is limited to the product or how it is aligned with the product, the value, the pain points that we are trying to solve. And again, promotion can win you your customer at the first time. Like we always say, marketing is to bring the customer in, but it's your product and experience that will retain your customer. And you are a marketer, listeners are a marketer. They all know that retaining customers is way more important these days rather than gaining new customer. So our messaging, our product, our experience, they all need to align. And I learned this in a very like kind of a harsh way too. I'll give you an example here also in from my experience. It was like I was coaching my marketing team. I was doing a lot of agile marketing experiments. And this is again like 10, 12 years ago. Our team came up with an idea to put photo mugs, like kind of create the photos on the mugs for the holiday gift. And it feels common now, but like, you know, if you think from the 10, 12 years back, it was not that common. So we created like kind of the campaign. We created a TV ad, we created social media ad and all those things. And then we did a launch on Thanksgiving. And first week alone, we sold more than 1 million mugs.
Wow.
And it was a huge success. Everybody's talking about it. Hey, Vistaprint's photo mug. You can create your grandma's photo on the mug and then give her this holiday gift. And people were like buying it crazy. But guess what? It was not successful at all. And you know why? Because we did not understand the capacity our factory could able to produce.
Oh.
Because think we are selling those products. Everybody want those mugs by Christmas. And if our factory cannot produce that many mugs that what we are selling, they will have the bad experience.
That is true.
So our factory was not connected with our selling system. And then it was a crisis for us, like what we should do. And we went to our kind of leaders, our CEO, and talked to them. Hey, how do we do that? And I'm so lucky at that time, like kind of we have the leaders that who thinks the customer comes first. Figure it out. What are the third party vendors that who could able to produce those mugs? Reroute those mugs production to them, to Canada factory or to our Europe factory and get it shipped, whatever is possible. Not even a single customer should be delayed to get that package before Christmas. So every time we sell a product, a mug on our website, we lose $5.
Oh, that's crazy.
So every time we were selling after that 1 week, a single mug on our website, we were losing money. So that was the whole thing, like kind of it, the from the perspective, the cross-functional that what we are talking about, like how important that is today. So if we don't do cross-functionally, if we don't talk to the people who are creating this campaign, who are creating this TV ad, who are creating the social media ad, and their messaging doesn't align with everything, your experience is not going to be that great.
That is why you keep iterating that we cannot work in silos. We have to be
Exactly.
cross-functional every step of the way so that it
Exactly.
ensures the user experience and also it creates a retainment process that the customers will retain and bring in new customers.
Yes. Yes,
That's
and that's
an.
the whole basic definition of agile marketing, right? We talk about that. Put your people first and deliver value together and create those things by the faster feedback loop. So those are the four things that you need to remember. Put your people first. Our CEO did, like, put the people first. Don't worry about losing money. We will make money somewhere else. It's okay right now, but put people first, make it collaborative. We did not do so. We did not do our kind of a system thinking approach at that time. Didn't work for us.
Something like that happens today. What is your approach to minimize the loss impact of this process?
Can be things that you can do. Of course, there is a improvement that you need to have. Kind of a create the transparency of the capacity of factory. The marketers doesn't know what is the transparency of that the kind of the factory, how they work. We never thought about that. And this was the one of the thing in the retrospective came up after that, but we did the retrospective, we talked about what we could have done differently. And it was an initiative then after that every employee should visit factories at least once in their work time, like work life, like kind of all marketed. We created the tools, factory tools for our employees. So they will fly to our factories and then understand how those factories works, what is their capacity and all those things. Again, the transparency about it. And then same way is we had the programs where people rotate their jobs in many of those functions. All of that is all about understanding how the finance work, how the pricing is working, how they are deciding the mug should be sold by $15 or $20. So they should know about the pricing. And then same way is they should know about the product. What is that paper used? How we build that? How many of mugs that we build in a day? How many of t-shirts we can build in a day? All that knowledge should be available to everyone.
That is true, and that is a great way to minimize the impact of the loss, and so that everyone is aware of what capacity they can sell the things at. That is a great insight. One of the core ideas is delivering value earlier and more often. Can you walk us through what looks like in a real marketing workflow?
So, in terms of like kind of a delivering value, right? Again, if you dissect this, value is all about solving somebody's pain point, right? So, when we are talking about delivering value early and more often, means that you need to slice your value delivery in a way that you are delivering value incrementally. Let me explain a little bit with an example here. I want to solve a pain point from going from point A to point B. So this is my pain point. This is what I want to solve. This is my value. So how do I deliver value? And people can say, oh, we will deliver car. So I'm creating a car. So how I am developing that car is by creating the tires first, then the chassis, then the engine, and all those things. This is a solution-driven approach where I have a solution in my mind that I have to build a car. Of course, you can build a car, but when you are talking about solving a pain point, you are solving from the value perspective. Value is moving person A, person from point A to point B. If I want to deliver value, first I want to check it out. Do really people want to go from point A to point B? So for that, I may develop a scooter. I may develop a bicycle. And then I may develop a motorbike. And then I will develop a car. So in those sense, like kind of a, you go behind why we need this. What is the pain point that particular thing is solving? So then you come as a concept of like MVP, that's the minimum viable product, or you know that MVP may not get you the money or viability that what you are looking for. What you look for is MMR, which is your minimal marketable release. So in those aspects, like think from the marketing team's perspective. You are delivering a campaign. And campaign is not about just delivering that campaign. You are doing a campaign because you want to sell your product. And they will buy the product once they relate to that particular thing. So what you do here is instead of creating, again, an example, you want to create. Right now, you are given an assignment to create an advertisement for Super Bowl. Now, you are spending this whole 6, 7 months creating for Super Bowl ad. And once the ad is produced, People may come and then may not come at that time. How you will know? Because you are doing all the work, you are creating, you are hiring amazing actors, directors to create that advertisement. So now think from the early delivering value, early and often perspective. You had an idea. You created some short reels with that idea and put that idea to in front of some of your customers. And you are reacting it like kind of a how in the social media those people are reacting. And that may also increase some of your sale. You see that the thing here? You
Yeah.
delivered the value. Some of the people from that social media, they are seeing this advertisement and then buying it. And from on that, you build up a maybe a small short movie. And from that short movie, you understand more, or maybe you run five or six different kind of social media advertisement or talking to people, understanding. And then by the time the Super Bowl comes, you have tested like so many different ideas. And then now you can go and then create your advertisement, and that will run on the Super Bowl. So that's the whole thing about how you are creating value incrementally and then getting more people to buy your product.
It is like breadcrumbing and like asking people to follow this campaign trail and then that you
Yes.
purchase your product.
Correct.
That's how I have usually purchased my products also. Like social media engagement is a
Yes.
great way to tap into the audience and gauge what their experience is going to be like. And then you can create on the advertisement. That's a great example, Kamal. I'm learning. Like I mentioned before this conversation started, I really felt like I'm going to be learning so much today from you. And I'm so happy that we are having this conversation about agile marketing.
I'm so glad, like kind of being here, and as a agile advocate, as a marketing advocate, I think these two words combined creates the magic.
That is true. Faster feedback loops are central to agile. How can marketing teams build and use them without slowing down execution?
So feedback always comes with a cost. Like what happens is when you want to align people, when you ask for the feedback, it will slow you down. But are you want to go in the direction that is wrong, or are you want to go slow in the right direction?
Slow in the right direction.
Slow in the right direction, right? So if you want to go to a place and then you see a little bit of traffic, correct? But on the other side, on the other side of the road, there is no traffic. So the goal here is to go in the right direction, right? Not go with the speed that you want to go. So the same way here is like kind of a when you are thinking from the feedback perspective, real question is that how quickly you can get that feedback. If you have launched that product and then after people buy the product, say you are designing a protein bar, right? Again, just for the sake of example, and you went and then launched that protein bar, people will buy that from some kind of a grocery stores and it will be on their shelf. And then once they bought it, they will come home, or maybe at that time they will eat, they will like it, they don't like it. You get your feedback too late. There is a lot of kind of a gap between this feedback. How can we fasten up that feedback loop? I'll give you a classic example, and people don't think in that way, but a great example is Friends TV show. You know, remember Friends TV show?
Yes, I was watching it last night.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of my favorite TV show. And you know what they used to do? During the filming, they had a live audience. And the writer, director would closely observe their reactions. And if a joke did not land, they would adjust it on the spot. they will reshoot it. And this is a kind of the real-time feedback loop. They did not wait until the episode aired or to learn and then what worked, what did not work. They were getting feedback at the immediate same time. And now compare that to our kind of the marketing. Many campaigns are launched and left untouched for weeks, sometimes months. I have seen in my career, like we will spend so much money and so much of effort without even thinking, without any of the feedback. And by the time kind of we launch, our budget is already spent. And then we have to cut in so many different places. So feedback loop is very, very important. This is a crucial to agile. When we're talking about agile marketing, we all know, yes, there will be a cost to the feedback, but that cost will put you in the right direction rather than going in the wrong direction.
I like how you started this answer with you do not want to go in the lane which does not belong to you by just going fast. You want to go in the right direction. The speed does not matter. The right direction matters the most.
That's right.
Many organizations still operate in campaign-based models. What are the key challenges when shifting to a more adaptive, agile approach?
I think we talked about earlier, to me, it is the silos. It's the limited visibility into each other's work. So we don't know what is happening in that area. And I'll tell you that's like kind of what I have seen from my experience. You have a small organization, right? Small organizations doesn't have that challenge because it is very small. Everybody knows everything. And you can see that how good sometimes the startups do these kind of campaign. They launch the product, they do the wonders. But as soon as you start scaling up, you start building up the silos and you start building up in a way that people does not have visibility. So what we do here is we follow a leadership mentality, which is very good, which is means that I'm a leader of figuring it out how we're gonna create this advertisement. I am a leader, I'm gonna figure it out what should be the configuration of this particular product. And I'm figuring it out what should be the pricing part of it, where we need to sell it so that we can get the best out of it. But then in all those terms that when people started kind of a leading their own area, they forget about that we need to work collaboratively with each other. Everybody should have a visibility to everything. That's the key point I have seen, and then people struggle.
And that was true for like in the beginning you mentioned with the example of how small startups, the visibility is high because everyone knows everyone. So they can lean on to the other thought process and can advise or guide in a moment of need and can help out the other teams. But in a large organization, it becomes difficult. How do you have a prescription of how to bridge this gap between other like working different silos, how to break that down?
So first thing first is the visibility.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me or some kind of a magic power if you give me,
Yeah.
if the more you are growing in an organization, I will stop people using the PowerPoint and Excel. Because what is happening is your whole roadmap, the way you are working, everything lives on those documents. What happens is, think from the perspective of like some kind of a collaborative tool or places that where people could able to see each other's work. Like what we had is we call it the enterprise business visibility room, EBR room we used to call it. Every work every team is doing, they will put a printout like, hey, why we are doing this, why this is important. Why now this is important? What will be the impact of our customers? Who are the people impacted? Means upstream and downstreams. Like, hey, if I'm creating this campaign, at that time, my email marketing team will be impacted and social media team will be impacted. So they need to work with us. So all that information was there on that paper, and anybody can walk any time in that EVR room and then get the whole enterprise view that how my teams are doing, how other teams are doing. One of the amazing practice that what I have seen is we used to call it a Thursday view. So every week, this was the time before COVID, of course, like kind of a when people used to go to offices a lot. Now I work from home, so like this is my office, but I travel sometimes. But idea is the same, that every week some team will put together a view of what are they working on. There are the drinks served, there are the food, they will have a table, they will have a demos that what they have been doing, and each people will walk in, they will talk to them, hey, what are your challenges? It's all about understanding and then bringing visibility to what those functions are doing. Small team, you don't need it. Yes, you will need some of those areas, but as you grow big, now what is big look like? Anytime that you are talking about you have 1,000 employees, you should start doing that. And my organization has 80,000 employees.
Oh, wow.
So
It's
like
almost
think
like a county.
so think from that perspective, like kind of think Microsoft, like all the big companies, they have 20,000 employees, 50,000 employees, and they have no idea, like kind of a, they don't talk to each other. That's why, like kind of a, yes, there is a decentralization. Each team works as in their own unit, which is okay. But ultimately, magic happens when we connect all the dots.
That is true. That is true. And it also stands true to your name, Connector. That's the whole idea behind the magic happens when you connect. So, yeah. Moving on. From your experiences teaching and consulting, what are the most common mistakes teams make when trying to implement agile marketing?
I think it's focus. You remember the first that we talked about an example, the quick wins, moonshots, and all those things.
The matrix.
So the metrics part of it, the 2x2 metrics. People try to do everything. So in when you are thinking from the agile perspective, focus is the most important tool. You need to understand what is most important right now. Finish that up before starting the new one. So it's called the WIP limit, like in a work in progress. So that's the key to being agile. You have to reduce the WIP limit. So another one here is people go behind the tools, like kind of, hey, this is the Scrum framework, this is this framework that we want to implement it. You may have heard about in Agile, people talk about daily stand-up. Have you heard about daily
Yes,
stand-up?
daily stand-ups,
The
yes.
Scrum daily stand-up? Now, think about what is daily stand-up? Daily stand-up is a place where your teammates are aligning what we need to do today. Yes, we can call it a status update. Hey, I was working on this, I was working on that, but think from the purpose perspective. I need to align. I need to ask if I need any help or you need any help. So people go behind frameworks and tools, and then they forget, like, ultimately, Agile is all about collaboration. And if sometimes, like, enough people call me, like, enough, come on, our stand-up is 20 minutes long, it is not 15 minutes long, what we should do? Said, it's okay. If you are achieving the alignment instead of 15 minute, 20 minute, it will automatically come down after a month or so. Means you have so much to collaborate. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But if you are spending 2 hours on the stand-up, then I will say, yes, maybe something is wrong there, right?
That's not a collaboration, that's a meeting.
Yeah. So like something is wrong there. So like this is the simple things, like kind of you focus on the why behind it, like why we are doing this, instead of like, hey, how can we make it better? If you are achieving the purpose behind what you are doing, you're good. You don't have to worry about the tools, frameworks, or people used to call it the Scrum Police, and the Scrum Master will come and then say, hey, your stand-up is too long. Like they have to be cut another 15 minute. You have to stand up in your stand-up. Hey, everybody's remote, everybody's working their own office. And do we need to stand up at that time?
That is
So
the
it's
literal explanation of that is way too much. I don't think. Do people stand up in the stand-up meetings?
they used to before, like because what used to happen is we used to have the physical board, like kind of the board that you see it here, like kind of a and people used to have a board that where we will move the sticks, the stickies from like in progress to done and all. At that time, standing makes sense, but now we use like kind of a the online tools like Jira or Monday or some Asana, all those kind of tools that we use, where we are dragging and dropping using our mouse or trackpad, all of those things. People, it's okay. It's the whole idea behind that is it should be quick. It's a quick collaboration meeting. That's the whole idea. Like stand up, you are not sitting, you are not relaxing. It's a quick collaborative meeting where we are trying to understand what is the plan of action today? If anybody need any help from anyone. So those are the examples.
While we are talking about tools, do we have a favorite tool between Jira, Asana, or Monday, or are they both same in the functionality of it?
They're all beast, they're all same. So it's not the tool, it's the people that who use it. And the idea is exactly the same. You use that tool for maximum communication and visibility. If I could not able to do my work today, I go back and put it in the comment. Hey, I tried this, did not work. Maybe I got distracted. I could not able to work on this. I will pick it up at tomorrow. What it is creating is a transparency. If other person is dependent on your work, he or she is not panicking it out when he's gonna give me, when he's gonna give me. And then that's the kind of the killer of your collaboration, where people don't have the visibility to what is happening if they are dependent on your work.
Before I move on to the last question, I also do want to touch the subject of AI and how it has impacted the world of marketing. When we talk about agile marketing, have you seen any advancements made because of AI?
Yes, and I personally feel there is a lot to happen in terms of like AI, the things that way it has moving. I developed a tool myself and I was like, okay, I'm gonna launch this next month. And believe me or not, the same tool was launched by OpenAI and some other people.
Oh,
So
wow.
the way things are moving is very fast. And if you are a marketer, my advice to you right now is explore some of the vibe coding, explore some of the tools like Lovable, your cloud code, or some different kind of the vibe coding tooling where you could able to solve some of those technical problems by just prompting rather than coding. And same is here for image generation, video generation, all of those things. I would say that play with it, play with some of those tools, because when I'm like right now creating my training material, I use a lot of AI in those material creation, those PowerPoints creation, design creation. A lot of time that I use it for even understanding the concept, like kind of a, hey, roast this PowerPoint presentation if I'm gonna present this to my executives. So, like those kind of things that you can brainstorm with AI. So, that will be very, very helpful for you.
And on to our last question. You conducted research with the marketing experts in 2021. Were there any surprise insights or patterns about how teams successfully adopt agile practices?
Yes, and that goes back to your previous question. In fact, like kind of a, what are the kind of the common mistakes people do? They think that agile means doing the daily standup. They think that agile means using Jira tool. Also, like kind of a focusing too much on the activities, rather than you're thinking that you need to deliver value. And value in other terms, like kind of as a marketer, value is all about solving the pain point. If you are creating something that nobody wants it, why are you creating it? And that was the major things came in that people who are trying to adopt agile into their ways of working, that they are focusing too much on tooling, too much on frameworks, rather than the actual way that people could improve the collaboration. So, if one takeaway I would say you take from this particular podcast, ask yourself, how collaborative is my team? How are we collaborating with each other to achieve whatever we want to achieve? And if we achieve that, how this particular thing will impact our customer or users? Can it be better? So focus more on the pain points. Like I always say that you can have four different kind of pain points. Your product pain points, which is like how your product is doing. Your support pain points, which is all about how after they got the product, if they have some issues, how you are solving that problem. Your finance problem or the pain point means your product is too expensive. And how do I create in a way and lower the cost of my product so that I can sell it to other people who could able to afford. Those are the kind of the pain points also you need to think. Another one is that the again, this is all the four P's that what I'm talking about is the place. How do I get that product? How this particular product is available to me? How I need to buy it? What other different information about that is available? So understanding and then connecting everything together, because everything together is the experience that is creating it for your customer. So you can't think in your silo only in one thing and then not think from the all other perspective.
Well, this has been a great conversation today, Kamal. I have learned so much about how and why working in visibility for every department to see, every organization to see is important for a successful mission to run, for a successful organization to run. And it helps to understand why agile marketing is today much more important and relevant than it was ever before. Because if your own team does not know how to communicate their needs to the other department, then the product will not be successful. As we have seen in the past, how many products have failed because of lack of visibility, lack of being transparent. And yeah, agile marketing helps a lot of organizations. And on that note, I would also like to ask, what can we see upcoming through you in the work of agile marketing?
I think there's a lot coming up in terms of AI, like kind of a, we talked about putting all the requests into your quick wins and all. So you would see, I think, in future that AI is helping you prioritize because integration of technology and marketing and then finance, all of that's gonna come key kind of the point where everything is connected with everything and then everybody is making their own decision. So that's what I think is going to happen in future.
That makes sense because, as you have already explained in a lot of examples, that is the current need of the time. And with the advent of AI, how things merge over the other things, it's going to smoothen the process out and leave no gaps so that the organization can run more successfully. Like I said, this has been a great conversation today with you, Kamal. I have learned so much that I feel I did not have these information before. And thank you for shedding light on this topic and this being the educator of our session today.
Yeah, no worries. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk here.